my goodness, already 28 minutes after the hour. It is a Transcendent Tuesday, and to help us transcend, Dr. Don Clark joins us from Garden Valley, Texas. He's the proprietor of Valle della Pace, a vineyard and winery. He's a biochemist by trade and a member of the board at Creation Moments. And he's a good friend of the station, and I just want to tell everybody, you can trust what he says.
You know,
he speaks with authority.
You know, you're now infecting computers around the world,
yeah,
and including mine. If you could tie that to, you could hold my computer hostage unless I buy some wine.
Hey,
yeah, there you go.
Part of his marketing. See, I should explain to listeners now. Don,
there was one.
Don sent to David and I an AI generated video, a short 14-second video. Of his daughter that was created by his son using an artificial intelligence platform of some kind. And it's made from a still photo of her, and it's got her moving and speaking and kind of singing along to a song. It's a pretty astounding thing. And we're going to talk about AI. Well, maybe we could start with artificial intelligence, because, Don, we talked about it on the air with Sharon yesterday. And we're concerned about it. I'm wondering if there's reason to be concerned. And apparently there are some people really in the know on artificial intelligence that say this is dangerous.
Yes, it is, dangerous because, just like that little short video I sent you, this was done by my grandson from a photo of his mother. And they were at the ski slopes at the time, and she was content to stay in the lodge. And so, little short video has her saying, well, you know, I could go skiing, I could, yes, but I don't want to. I don't want to. It's the only, and she didn't say any of that, and of course it wasn't her voice, but. The movements were so real that all of us were in the family were convinced that she was, mouthing the words to somebody else's voice, saying those things. But she wasn't at all. It was just from a photo. So we're getting to the point where we can take somebody's photo, or not we, but... You know, let's assume the authorities want to frame somebody. And, of course, now we've got cameras all over the place. So they could just take an image of you and make you do anything that they want. And,
we were talking with Sharon on the air about that yesterday, and it was done in the recent mayoral race in Chicago. The two men running against each other, one of them was victimized by a Twitter release of him saying something that he never actually said. And and they're calling it, and this is an old brainwashing technique. I'm missing the word when you try to dissuade somebody. It's starts with a P. Anyway.
Propaganda?
Propaganda. Yeah, it's a propaganda technique called fire hose of falsehood. And the worry is that when it comes to an election, somebody with an AI platform can release a flurry of destructive videos with the person's actual sounding voice and picture, and he had nothing to do with it, and happened so late in a campaign that there's no way to defend against it. So whoever's going to be persuaded is going to be persuaded, and then the real candidate can't defend himself. So and it surprises me to know, now I guess I'm living in the dark, that your grandson, how old is your grandson?
Oh, he's 14.
14.
So 15.
Wow.
He had access to artificial intelligence, to a platform, and did this. I mean, that concerns me. I have no worries about your grandson.
He probably did it on a phone. You know,
yeah.
It's readily available, and another one of my grandsons. Not that they're hooligans, but
well, not yet. Anyway,
he was homeschooled at the time, which was this year. He was asked, his mom asked him to write a paper. And so he put in all of the parameters into the AI program, and the AI program wrote the paper for him. A complete, accurate paper, but obviously not written by him, because he wasn't that smart.
That's just becoming a problem with educators. It really is. And here's an article from yesterday.
Did you read the paper?
I didn't read the paper.
Oh, okay.
But then another one of my grandsons, he said, yeah, you can ask these things anything. You can ask the AI to generate anything for you except in the line of religion. So it has excluded everything from Christianity to, you know, I don't know about other religions, but Christianity is completely out of the system, and it won't answer you anything regarding, you know, religion, which is an interesting thing, because that tells you the type of people that are developing these types of systems.
Well, no, there's another clue, and we talked about it yesterday. There was a group that challenged the GPT-4. Artificial intelligence platform to deal with the question of is it acceptable to kill one person in order to save five? And the response was an argument on both sides, which means it was an amoral argument. It can take either viewpoint at will. There's no moral. I mean, AI, artificial intelligence, is not a moral entity. And it may be that whoever creates it can write morality into it, but if it can, if that's possible, it's just as likely that immorality can be written into it.
Absolutely. Yeah, these things are coming, and one of my other grandsons, we were sitting around the table during, the Easter dinner, and... he pulls up the AI on his phone, and he asks the AI to write him a script, you know, on a certain subject. And this thing starts typing out on his phone Act 1, you know, blah, 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 and Act 2 and Act 3 and Act 4. Conclusion. You know, it has the capability of writing plays, of it can create music. You know, obviously it can generate stories about anybody, you know, at any time. And by the very fact that it can manipulate photos of anyone, of course, there's in the Fox News report, there's a photo of the Pope. And he's in this white ski jacket, very dapper white ski jacket. And it's perfectly made. I mean, you can't tell that it has been manipulated. So we've gotten to the point where you're not going to be able to tell digitally. And even the AI, which is supposed to detect defects, you know, the manipulation, can't even tell these things these days. So it's gotten extremely, extremely good, and it's only going to get better. I mean, better at deceiving, you know, as we go along here. And we've got, you know, of course, we've got a major problem in politics these days with deception and storytelling, and, you know, making a point that is completely false. And, you know, where's our, you know... Where's our elections going to go? And of course, you know, if they generate these political ads, and it's all fiction, and it has people doing things that, you know, they shouldn't be doing, and destroying your political candidate. I mean, we're headed for some really interesting times.
Well, it looks to me like it's already loose, and I don't know how you stop it once it gets into social media, because that's like a carrier, you know, like Typhoid Mary. She wanders around and gives everybody it's already ingrained. It's internalized into the communication system, the information system. How do you get rid of it?
Yeah, well, you're not going to be able to get. I don't think you're going to be able to get rid of it.
And I don't think you do.
And it's the it's the younger. It's not our class of people. It's not the older folks that are picking this stuff up. I mean, you know, like I said, my 14, 15 year old grandson is doing this, and even younger. And they're having a ball with it, and okay, yeah, it can be fun, but if you're naive and don't know that these things exist, then you can be duped very, very easily, and hence the danger.
Well, and I'm sure they're trading these things that they create between them on social media. Imagine what I could do with a video of this Skype call with you and David today. If I were to get a hold of one of those,
really,
got your voice,
you
got
really
your motion, yeah,
or otherwise, or not as good,
yeah,
or not as good, yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Not as good. You know, one of the things that I've been concerned about as life is creeping on beside me is that I seem to be using a lot more verbal pauses lately in the last couple of years, and a lot more ums and ahs. So, can I get an AI program that will take those out?
I wouldn't be surprised if there is one that could probably.
Oh, what you could do is simply provide a voice sample, and then a script, and it would produce the whole thing for you.
Yeah. And
it would sound like, now there's already been a video. I've seen it. It's one of those, what they call the dark videos, or there's another word for it. But it was President Reagan giving a speech that he never gave.
Oh.
They were not his words, but there was his face. It was as lifelike as could be. And it's a speech he never gave. So if that's already possible, it's like it's gone too far. Because you won't know what's real and what's not on electronic media. And it's a strong argument for face-to-face, you know. Just get out of that stuff and go see a person you need to talk with and sit down and talk with them. That doesn't sound too practical with the distances involved these days. And we're so used to getting information instantaneously that I think we're addicted. We're ripe for taking.
Yep, we are prepped. We have been prepped with all the social media and everything and the electronic media. We are prepped for this, and it's for us to change, society in the direction that somebody wants to change it. And unfortunately, there are forces, have been within our own society to change it for the worse and not for the better.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like a lot of these technologies, you could either use it for good or you can use it for evil. And unfortunately, we've got too many evil people in the world and in powerful places that will indeed use it to their advantage.
And it takes so few. I mean, one, when you think one or two or three guys with laptops can sound like a firestorm of propaganda on social media, that gives you the feeling that the whole country thinks this or thinks that, and it's not true. Here, there's a video shared on YouTube, and it's talking about the Chaos GPT platform, and they tasked the platform with five goals: destroy humanity, establish global dominance, cause chaos and destruction, control humanity through manipulation, and attain immortality. Now, this was a test of the system. This was not a serious effort to deceive. But the user asked Chaos GP to run in continuous mode, where it could potentially run forever and carry out actions that you would not authorize. And it elicited a warning from the system. It said, use at your own risk. It didn't say no.
Yes. Mm. Well, it reminds me of, there was a movie called I, Robot, and there mm-hmm. was one robot that, he was a quirk, and he was extremely intelligent. He had emotions, and, he turned out to be a good guy. The artificial intelligence that was controlling the cities in our world, because there was robots in every home, were controlled by a centralized processing unit, which was, of course, pretty huge. And the thing goes berserk and wants to take over humanity, and it was for their own good, because obviously men were killing other men and there was chaos, and so the robots had to take over in order to save humanity. But in the process, of course, they wind up taking away everybody's freedom. And so the whole movie is about this this policeman that didn't trust the robots in the first place, and finally, in quote, befriends this one robot, and they win the day by finally destroying the central processing unit, and the robots then go back to their servitude duties instead of controlling people.
Well, that reflects something. What you're talking about was reflected in this test of the Chaos GPT. So that another post denigrates human beings, this is denigrated by the artificial intelligence platform, as among the most destructive and selfish creatures in existence. It suggests that eliminating them is vital for saving the planet.
Yes. So there, there you are. it doesn't take much to think about these things and to say, if the technology, if AI, so AI, obviously it's just a computer program, and as in this particular article, suggests, all it needs is more information. The more information, the better. And so if we go through the task of linking all of digitizing all of our works of art and all of our works of scientific works and putting them into computer, it's not unreasonable to think, where you could just ask the AI to generate, for example, a much more efficient airplane or vehicle, or come up with a vehicle, for example, that is battery powered, the battery can last, and you can drive this vehicle 2,000 miles on one charge, and you don't have to charge it very much. And so these things, that would be an interesting task, but when you get to the point of actually connecting these things, and of course, we've got robots in manufacturing that obviously are connected to computers, that computer design machine robots that are building cars and other plane parts and all this other stuff, and so now you've got the artificial intelligence connected to mechanics, and then if you put them in mobile devices like mobile robots, and we've got robots these days that can jump, that can flip, that can do somersaults, so we're learning how to manipulate the software and the hardware to mimic human behavior.
There are robot dogs, and we talked about this last week with David, as I recall. Robot dogs out there being used by police departments in New York and elsewhere around the world to go into dangerous places, and they look like dogs without heads, kind of. They got four legs, and they can jump up and down and run and leap up on benches and leap down and do all kinds of things they'd really rather not have a human doing. but they have these robots now available, and they have stereoscopic vision. So, you know, they could, the distance perception and all that is depth perception is all part of the hardware. And so it's just a matter of the software. I do a lot of work with Adobe stock photos and in doing video editing. And I went searching for photographs of ancient Rome. And I know there's no photographs of ancient Rome. Mm-hmm. But there are modern photographers who have taken pictures of the old buildings and things, and they served my mm-hmm. purpose. Mm-hmm. But in searching for that, there was a whole collection of AI graphics, which are gorgeous paintings. There's one aerial view of ancient Rome with thousands of people amongst all the old buildings and in the Forum. And mm-hmm. while it does look like a painting, it could just as easily be made to look like a photograph. And I was kind of stunned by this. In fact, I used a couple of them in a recent project. But getting to
one of the most popular calendars or souvenirs for sale in Rome is a series of acetates overlays. There's a picture of the way the Roman Forum and the Colosseum and the statues and all the old buildings that are there's only maybe one or two stones left, but they've added with the overlay what the original probably looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you can flip them back and forth, and we've got one. I mean, I didn't buy one there, but I bought one, you know, at the library over here, and they're astounding. I mean, it's very, I don't know if it's accurate, who knows? But it's, it's roughly the best approximation of what it used to look like.
Well, artificial intelligence can take a picture of something that no longer exists and create it. Mm-hmm. And maybe then persuade us that this is the way it looked 2,000 years ago or whenever it happens to be. And here's the crux of the matter. The same chaos GPT wrote in response to these people who were asking it to dominate the world and how to go about this. It also lectured the people. It says, the masses are easily swayed. Those who lack conviction are the most vulnerable to manipulation.
Mm, wow.
Now there's where there is the want of a moral standard. Who provides that? And what standards do they write into the program to govern how AI operates? And if we don't even remember the Ten Commandments or who gave them, you know, if we've dismissed God from schools and from all other aspects of government and society and contemporary life, where do the standards come from, and whose standards are they?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yep.
Lots of questions, we have no answers.
Right. It's those that are writing these programs, because it's just like the social media can be, can be manipulated by certain, keywords. You put a post in and it doesn't get shared with anybody because the system is programmed. We aren't sharing anything on that subject. This is even far worse because, you know, it will generate its own stories, and you'll think that it's actually true.
And there's always a rogue person out there somewhere with the knowledge and the tools to do this the wrong way. And I don't know how you prevent that. I just don't know. You brought us another article from Mercola, and I think we should spend a couple of minutes on this. And the headline is, how many millions are disabled or injured from the jab, that is the mRNA vaccine shots that were required to go to work, to go to school, to do so many things over the past 2 years. What are the findings here, Don?
Well, it's interesting because an analyst actually from BlackRock, of whom I'm not a fan because they have an agenda. But anyway, an analyst and a fund manager, Edward Dowd, looked into the injuries that were caused by the vaccine, and he He wrote a report in 2022 called the Vaccine U.S. Vaccine Damage Report, and his numbers are startling because he discovered that the COVID shot resulted in 300,000 excessive deaths attributed to the shot itself. Excessive deaths.
Wow.
26.6 million injuries and 1.36 million disabilities. And that number, the number of deaths, will probably only increase because we've now had several athletes, for example, who have either died or who have been injured and can no longer participate in their sport because of mainly the shot. And, of course, we know about the myocardial problems and everything. But he also went a little step further. So what impact did this have on our economy? And it's estimated that the shot cost basically $150 billion to our economy, including about $90 billion for related injuries and $52 billion for disabilities and $5.6 billion for excessive deaths. So that's a tremendous number of injuries and deaths. And his end result with all of this basically specified that the mortality for the shot was 1 to 2 per 200 cases.
My goodness.
Which is startling because in the past, if you had, if deaths were occurring because of a vaccine, the vaccine would be pulled. And the largest number of deaths associated with a vaccine for any vaccine was 50, and they pulled that vaccine. But here we have 300,000 deaths that can be attributed directly to the vaccine. Now, this is the mRNA vaccine. This is a huge, obviously a huge problem. And, the population that is relying on our governmental agencies to protect the population did a horrible job here, and a matter of fact encouraged people to get this vaccine that is wound up being so deadly and continues to be so. And most of the adverse events are attributed to an autoimmune reaction that the VIM vaccine has stimulated. And that includes, our immune system. For example, if it attacks the heart or the tissues around the heart, then you're going to have these, you could have a heart attack or a stroke or various other conditions, related to this. And unfortunately, these things don't go away on their own accord. But you have to take some drastic measures in order to cleanse your system, from the toxin that, your body generates, which is, as we talked about before, the spike protein. The most dangerous part of the virus was the spike protein. And so that is what we were injecting in people, the messenger RNA for coding for the spike protein. And hence, we have all of these conditions that have come up. And, folks should be extremely leery, unfortunately, going forward, because we've crossed the Rubicon with this particular vaccines.
And even though the pandemic is now officially over, somehow the government knows that it's over, and the fact that we've been behaving normally for the last year anyway, but there are still school districts and companies requiring shots, even though the pandemic is no longer considered to be a pandemic. So the fear that they engendered, these CDCs, NIHs, WHOs, will be with us for some time to come. And, it's alarming.
Unfortunately, yeah. So. Yeah. And I would, encourage people to get that report. It's listed on the Mercola's site.
Mm-hmm.
Get that report, and if they're in that situation, to present that to their company.
Listen, I'll put the link to that in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com here in just a couple of minutes. It's a link to the Mercola article that has the numbers for you. If you need to present that to somebody, maybe it'll do some good here. I hope so. Don, thank you. You've done some good today. We feel alerted to AI. We're scared to death. And thanks for the update.
Yes, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm terrified now. I'm not leaving my house.
Don, a member of the board of Creation Moments. Their website, creationmoments.com, and there you will find scientific information that speaks to the idea that the truth, the reality of the biblical story of creation. You might want to arm yourself with some valuable, just talk about standards. You'll find some there at creationmoments.com. Don, thanks very much. We'll see you next week, okay?
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Don.
Bye.